Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day two, in our consecration week. As we close out the year, we give you praise and we give you glory. Hallelujah. Today being a fasting day, Lord, we will read the word of the Lord, and we pray and declare that the entrance of your word will bring understanding, give us light as well, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Glory and honor and praise and adoration be to your name. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today, I'll be taking a scripture reading on the fasting day. It's one of the things they did back in the day. We'll be reading from Numbers chapter 13 and also chapter 14. So take a moment and get your Bible. I'm going to read from King James. You can read along. And today's lesson is taken from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. And we have spoken on that theme multiple times, but I'm taking only one of our faith specs. You guys might remember, we've talked about it. See the promise, be persuaded, embrace it, and confess it. S-P-E-C. Taken out of Hebrews 11 and verse 13. But today I want to talk about the embracing part. And that's the one I want to focus on for just today. Praise the Lord. Now, it says these all died in faith. It talked about all the heroes of faith that he spoke about before that, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, that's the S, and were persuaded of them, that's the P, and embraced them, that's the E, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, that's the C. So we're going to talk about embracing the promises of God in order to possess them. All right, here we go. We're going to read a story here, a popular story which we've also shared many times on this platform. And I'm going to read through some portion of it and speak to some part of it as well. Numbers chapter 13. The backdrop to this story, God told Moses to send some folks out of the children of Israel that he had brought out of Egypt. You know, and while they were still traveling through the wilderness, they're getting close to the promised land. He said, send some folks to go check it out. And so he picked out one from each of the tribes and sent them. And we know that there was also Caleb and Joshua were included in the men that went out to spy out the land. And they went and they searched the land, we're told, from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob and even unto Hamath. They went to the south. They went in different places. They searched. And then they came back. They even found some places where they took some fruit of the land, the grapes and different things. And, you know, after 40 days, they returned and gave their report. So let's pick up this story on Numbers chapter 13 and verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh. And they brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely he floweth with milk and honey. Now you remember that the Lord said, I'll bring you into a land that flows with milk and honey. All right. Well, they confirmed it. And this is the fruit of it. You know, and they brought a lot of fruit that they found to confirm what the Lord had said about the land. Nevertheless, they said, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, even by the coast of Jordan. You know, so let's consider that as we're reading through. The Lord had promised to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. They are getting close. Then when they searched the land, they found the fruit of the land very, very pleasant, like they said. But somehow they found reason to not embrace the promise to go and possess. They found reason. They looked around. They said, well, yeah, the fruit is there. The land is good. But nevertheless, there are obstacles that will prevent us from possessing the place. Well, my first question to us is, did not the Lord know that there were Amalekites and Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites and the, you know, Canaanites and all these people there? Did the Lord not know that? You know, they didn't think about that, but they focused on what they thought would be the challenges that would prevent them from entering in and possessing, rather than focusing on the promise. So let's continue the story in verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess. Now there's a key word, process, there that we want to talk about today. For we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw there, in the men, they are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own eyes as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let us unpack this scenario here. Caleb stood up and said, let us go up at once. We are able to possess. We are well able to overcome it. I mean, they all saw the same things, but, you know, what did Caleb and Joshua choose to see versus the other 10? The other men said, no, we are not able. We cannot go up against these people because they are stronger than us. I'm not sure how they knew that. Well, they're looking outside, they're looking after the outward appearance. They said, we saw the giants are in the land. But because of their unbelief, they not sanctify the word of God in their heart, they actually contradicted themselves. Look at what they said here. They said, the land which we have gone to search it out, eateth up the inhabitants of the land. And at the same time, the men that are there are of great stature. I mean, that's a contradiction. If the land is eating them up, then they will be of diminished stature. They will not be of great stature. But he said, the land eats up the people, and the people are of giant stature. I mean, how in the world do you reconcile that? Well, unbelief can, you know, throw people in circles like that. You know, so they are looking at the people that are in land. They are all very giant statures, and yet they are saying the land is eating them up. Not sure how you reconcile those two things. But nevertheless, their unbelief prevented them from seeing and embracing the promise. And they say, we can't do it. These people are giants, and we are as grasshoppers, first in our own sight, and so we are in their sight. Look, the way they thought of themselves was what they thought the other people, how they saw them as well. They were supposed to be spies. They were not supposed to be seen. Spies were supposed to go with stealth among the people and hide and just do their thing and come back. They were not supposed to expose themselves. So how in the world were they thinking that the people of the land were, you know, looking at them and considering them to be grasshoppers? Well, that's what they thought of themselves. And that's how they thought the people saw them as. Well, unbelief will do a lot of things, cause people to run around in circles, bind themselves up in a corner, whereas God has said, go forward and possess. They did not embrace the promise. Well, let's go on to the next chapter and read some more. Chapter 14 and verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And all the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore had the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Why not better for us to return to Egypt? Wow. And immediately they had forgotten all the signs and the wonders that the Lord showed in the land of Egypt. They had forgotten how the Lord showed them the singular, most spectacular miracle in that Old Testament, in that parting of the Red Sea, and all the chariots of Egypt and Pharaoh and his armies. The Lord drowned them before their eyes. They had forgotten all of that in one moment of unbelief. They threw all that away, and they did not embrace what God was telling them for the moment. And they said to one another, let us make us a captain, and let us return to Egypt. And at this time, they're willing and wanting to even go back to bondage, because they wouldn't embrace the word of the Lord. Wow. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Either they were begging the Lord and also begging the people, you know, to believe the word of the Lord. They fell on their faces. And Joshua, the son of Nun, one of the two that believed, and Caleb, his companion, they spake unto the company of the children of Israel. Say, we were of them that also went to search the land. And here is our own version of the report. The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. Now, you know, I notice that their own report is vastly different from the other 10. And they said, look, if the Lord delight in us, which we know he does, because that's why he promised it to us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. It is a land that is indeed flowing with milk and honey. Only bail you not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Well, we will have them for lunch. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now, this was the word that came from Caleb and Joshua to all the people. They said, look, it is a good land indeed. We are able to do it. the Lord is with us. You know, he said, let us go up at once and take the place. These people are bread for us. We'll have them for lunch. Their strength is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. But the people did not embrace the word of the Lord. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. I mean, here are people that are encouraging them to go forward, to embrace the word of the Lord in order to possess. But the majority of the people, they did not sanctify the word of the Lord. They actually wanted to stone these people to death. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Now, whatever we are doing at any time, the Lord is listening. And when his word is at stake like this, and the people of his choice, his chosen people, would not even sanctify the word of the Lord, they threw it back in God's face. They said, well, you brought us here to kill us and to die by the sword and so forth. You should have let us alone in Egypt. I mean, that's like throwing this thing back in the face of the Lord. And so the Lord is going to show up now and be angry with these people. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will these people provoke me? And how long will it, you know, before they believe me? For all the signs that I've showed among them, I mean, all the things that the Lord did in the land of Egypt to punish that nation and yet prevent any of those plagues from coming unto the children of Israel, even to the plague of the firstborn that was killed by the Lord throughout the land, both man and beast. And yet he prevented that from coming near the children of Israel. All the plagues that the Lord showed in the land of Egypt, he kept those things. He said, look, I will make a distinction and a differentiation between the children of Israel and Egypt. When there was darkness in Egypt, the Lord gave them light. When he sent the frogs and so forth, none of those came to the camp of the children of Israel. When he sent the lice, the same thing. When he sent the locusts, the same thing. When he, you know, made their water to be red and blood, they couldn't drink it. The children of Israel had water. On and on and on and on. But they threw all of that in God's face. Ah. So the Lord said, well, you know, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. My goodness. You know, disinherit your own inheritance, Lord. Why would you do such a thing? Well, you know, because they did not sanctify the word of the Lord. They did not embrace his promises, and they are not going to possess anything. And I will make thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Well, the Lord was willing to toss Israel and then choose the lineage of Moses. But thank God that Moses said no. He said, Moses said unto the Lord, well, then the Egyptians will hear it. You know, because you brought these people by your mighty hand from among them. And they will tell it to all the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, the Lord, art among these people. That the Lord has seen face to face. That your cloud standeth over them. And that thou goest before them by day in a pillar of cloud, and by night in the pillar of fire. Now, if you kill all these people at once as a one man, then all these nations that have heard your fame will speak, saying, because the Lord was not able to bring these people into the land, which is swear to them, therefore has he slain them in the wilderness. So now, this is a powerful intercessory prayer. A powerful argument to the Lord. And now I beseech thee, Lord, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying the Lord is long suffering. Remember, the Lord told him that. And of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I pray thee, Lord, the iniquity of these people, according to the greatness of your mercy. Great is thy mercy, O Lord. We listen to that song at the beginning. And as thou hast forgiven these people, even from Egypt until now. There's many, many times that they had provoked the Lord, and the Lord had turned away his wrath. So, and God said to Moses, well, I will pardon them according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. And it's not many times that the Lord says that, but he's had it up to here with these people. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness and have tempted me even now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit different than all these guys with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring unto the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. And of course, the Lord already chose that Joshua would lead them in. Now, he said the Amalekites and the Canaanites that dwelt in the valley and so forth, this man, his seed will go in and will possess it. Tomorrow turn ye and get ye into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And the Lord moreover spoke unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? How long? Which murmur against me? They will not embrace the promise that I promised their fathers, and I have also reminded them of it to bring them into this land. They have not embraced it, but they continually murmur against me. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Now say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, even so will I do unto you. Well, they spoke evil. They said, we are not able. We are grasshoppers, and these people are giants. And they are stronger than us, and they will consume us, and we will fall. Well, the Lord said, well, that which you have spoken is exactly what I will cause to happen to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless, ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein. Now, you're not going to do it because you did not sanctify my word. You did not embrace the promise in order to go and possess it. Now, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, even them will I bring in. And they shall know the land which ye have despised and have not embraced. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. Your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Now, after the number of the days in the which you search the land, even 40 days, I will appoint unto you 1 year for each of those days to bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Oh, my goodness. Nobody ever wants to be in the listening end or receiving end of such a statement from the Lord. Shall God, the God of heaven and earth, the Lord that sits between the cherubims, that created the entire universe, that spoke things to existence by his own word? Shall the Lord breach his own promise? Oh, my goodness. Whoever heard of such a thing? But these people brought it upon themselves because they did not embrace the promise in order to possess what the Lord promised. And the Lord said, you will know my breach of promise. That thing that I promised you is rescinded. That's it. Over. You're not going to get it. And the Lord said, I will surely do unto this evil congregation and all that have gathered against me in this wilderness shall they be consumed, and there they shall die. My goodness. Ah. Well, this is a story that we need to ponder upon, meditate upon. The Lord promised a lot of things to Abraham in Genesis chapter 13. After Lot had departed from him, the Lord brought him out and said, look to the left, right, south, east, wherever. All that your eye can see, there I have given you to possess it. And I will surely bring you into that land, land of Canaan. You flowing with milk and honey, and I will give you and your seed to possess it forever. He said the same thing to Isaac, said the same thing to Jacob. He's repeating it to them all throughout their generations. And finally, when it was time, after all of their sufferings in Egypt, to bring them out, for to take them to the land of promise, and show them signs and wonders, both in Egypt and in the wilderness, by the sea, the Red Sea, and also many things, even gave them manna and all that, you know. Yet, when they were just at the brink of possessing the promise, they would not embrace it. And the Lord was furious with them. Now, this is a very, very serious lesson for us today. The man which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against the Lord by bringing up a slander upon that land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, they died by the plague before the Lord. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search out the land, they lived on. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And what was the reason, you know, that the Lord disinherited them? Well, because they did not embrace the promise of the Lord. And they rose up early in the morning. And they got up to the top of the mountain, saying, lo, we are here. Let us go unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have seen. But it was too late. And Moses said, no. Wherefore now do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? It shall not prosper. Don't go up, because the Lord is not among you. You will be smitten before your enemies. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you. And you will fall by the sword, because you have said that you are grasshoppers and you are strong. I mean, they are stronger than you. Therefore, the word of the Lord has rejected you, because rejected his promise. And because you turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you. Don't you go up. You know, but they presumed to go up. They did not listen. You know, nevertheless, you know, they did not listen. And so, you know, there was evil that came among them. The Amalekites came down and so forth and smote them and discomfited them even unto Hamath. They were destroyed, you know, because they did not embrace the promise. The reading of the word of the Lord on the fasting day. Now, let's talk some more about this. Are there promises that the Lord has given to you, to us, to go forward, to possess, to emerge, to experience quantum leaps and different things that the Lord might have promised from time to time? Are we embracing those promises? Or are we in our hearts of doubtful disposition like these people? Well, let's consider it today. This is our lesson today. You must embrace the promise in order to possess it. If you do not embrace it, you cannot possess it. You must, of course, have received the promise. I have said to the people time and time again, a promise is not a promise if you don't know what was promised. It's not a promise unless you know what was promised. Now, if you know it, either by searching out the word of God, if it was promised in his word, or you heard the Rhema, the word that was spoken to you, well, you know, that's one thing. Then you must be persuaded that God is able to do what he has promised and then embrace it for yourself. You know, many times we are persuaded that God is able to do these things. We know that God is almighty. And most any believer will tell you that, you know, God can do all things. Somehow we believe that. But when it comes to embracing it for the particular situation that we are in, that's where we falter. Everybody believes that God can raise the dead. But when we are faced with the situation of God raising the dead, well, can we really embrace it for the moment? And look at the conversation that ensued between Jesus and Martha at the grave of Lazarus in John chapter 11. Martha said to Jesus, "While our brother was sick, we called unto you. You didn't show up. Now he's dead, and now you show up. Well, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But in any case, I know that even now, well, God will hear you concerning whatever you say." And Jesus said, "Thy brother shall live again." Martha says, "Yeah, you know, I know my brother shall live again in the resurrection." See, but she could not embrace it for the moment. And Jesus said, "No, I'm not talking about that one. I'm talking about this one. I am right now the resurrection and the life. And if you can embrace it for this moment right now, you will see the glory of God." And do you believe this? Jesus asked her, "Believest thou this?" And that's the question, ladies and gentlemen, today. The promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. But are you embracing the promise of God to you for your specific situation? I mean, believing in general that God can do all these great things, that's not good enough. You know, the devils also believe and tremble. But you must embrace the promise for the moment and for the situation that you're in. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know, they were persuaded, not only persuaded that God was able to deliver them, but they also embraced the fact that God will actually deliver them. And they said unto the king, "O king, we are not careful to go and figure out our answer in this matter. We already know what we are going to say." You know, and they said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us." Daniel chapter 3 and verse 17. "Is able to deliver us from the fiery burning furnace." That's believing. That's being persuaded that God can do it. They know God can do it. Hallelujah. You know, they have heard where God said, that, you know, in Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the fire, I will be with you. I will deliver you. So they know that God is able to do it. But is he going to do it? Well, that's a different thing. I mean, they were persuaded that God is able to deliver them from this burning fiery furnace. But is he actually going to do it? That's a different question. But yeah, they not only were persuaded that God was able to do it, they embraced it for the moment. And they said, and he will deliver us. Hallelujah. Praise God. And boy, did they ever see that deliverance. Now, not only must we be persuaded that God is able to do whatever he promised, we must embrace that promise in order to possess what God promised. If you don't embrace it, well, it will elude you. And it continues to elude you. You know, we must embrace the truth of the word of God in order for it to set us free. We must embrace the promises of God in order for us to possess it. It is not enough for us to know the promise, but we got to embrace it. We got to believe that God is able. He's good for the word that he has spoken. He will make good. And we must embrace. The children of Israel in the story which we read did not embrace the promise. As a matter of fact, they detached themselves from the promise. They said, let us go back. God said, go forward. They said, no, let's go back to Egypt. Let's make us a captain and let's return to Egypt. It's better for us to be in bondage than to die out here. And they soon forgot all the things that God had done to bring them to that moment. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what are all of the great deliverances that God has done in your life to bring you to this moment? And when the Lord said, go forward, and a couple of months ago, the Lord told us, go forward. And he said again that, you know, in the next 12 months, 2 months since then have passed, that you will experience many things. Well, how many people are actually embracing it? You know, or are we still struggling with the fact that God is not able to do it? Our God is able. And we must embrace the promise. It doesn't matter how long we have toiled. There's a story in Luke chapter 5 that Peter and some of his friends, they toiled all night and they caught nothing, you know. And Jesus, he said unto them, well, do it again. And Peter said, well, we've done it all night long. We caught nothing. But nevertheless, see, there was a nevertheless moment in his story. And it was a good nevertheless. Those 10 people that came to spy out, from spying out the land, they had a nevertheless moment, but it was an evil nevertheless. They said, God has shown us. We saw the land. It was good. We saw the fruit of the land, milk and honey and grapes and everything. We even brought some samples. Nevertheless. And they went backward. And their soul went backward from the Lord. Because they would not embrace his promise. It was an evil nevertheless. But in the case of Peter, it was a good nevertheless. Well, I've struggled all night. I didn't catch anything. But nevertheless, at your word, I will do it again. I will launch out. Remember, they had launched out, stayed there all night, come back, washed out their nets and gave up already. You know, but the Lord said, go back and do it again. And this time I'll give you the strategy of what to do. Hallelujah. And Peter said, well, nevertheless, and I've often explained to the people that there is a moment that you must embrace that, even in the face of circumstances that present themselves to the opposite. I mean, these were skilled fishermen. They knew their trade, but they've been at it all night long and caught nothing. They knew there was nothing to be caught that night. They knew it. But the scripture says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4 and verse 12, that the word of God is quick. That means it is alive. The word of God is never dead. It may be dormant until you activate it by faith, but it's never dead. But when you can activate that word by faith, it turns into rhema. And then it says it is powerful. It is even sharper, you know, than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. What does that mean? Well, it is what we see here with Peter in Luke chapter 5. In his soul, he was discouraged. There were moments of discouragement that said, well, you know, lose some, win some. Today is a losing day. Well, we'll come back some other day. The fish are not biting tonight. And so they were discouraged in their soul. He was discouraged in his soul. But he used the word of God to pierce asunder, separate the soul from the spirit. When the word of God comes, we need to receive it in our spirit. Detach your spirit from your soul. The soul is where all the emotions are. The emotions of fear, unbelief, doubt, love, anger, all those things. They are all there. But the spirit is what latches onto the word. And the word of God can divide that. And if you allow the word of God, you use it right and divide and separate that soul from the spirit and just embrace that word in your spirit, then you are set to possess. And that's our lesson today. And you must know how to do it. If you do not embrace the word of God, you know, God forbid that we should be disinherited from the promise. God disinherited these people from the promise that he gave them. And he passed over that entire generation. Remember, you know, God had kept them. None of them were feeble. Their shoes didn't even wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. God kept them. But he said, look, inasmuch as you have not sanctified my word, you're all going to die. Except the little ones, the very ones that you thought were in danger. Those are the ones that I'm going to protect and put in there. But you, the rest of you, because you did not believe my word, I will disinherit you. And the Lord did. And all the negative things that you have spoken in my ears, so be it. So will I do unto you. Now, inasmuch as the Lord said that concerning negative things, the same is true for positive things. For the ones that that declared the positive things, Joshua and Caleb, that declared that we are able to go up and take the place, and the people are bred for us, and their defenses departed from them, and the Lord is with us, and we can take the place. For as much as those ones declared the positive, they also received the positive. The Lord said, whatever you say and declare in my ears, that will I do unto you. You declare the negative, unbelieving spirit that does not sanctify the word of the Lord. Well, then the Lord said, I will disinherit you from the promise. You declare the positive, you know, the undoubting. I mean, you're just positive. You believe that what God has said. You're not moved by the circumstances around you. You declare the word of God, and God will stand by it. He said, what you declare, that will I cause to happen to you. So today, let us embrace the promises of God. There are many things we wrote down and brought and spread before the Lord yesterday. Well, in order for you to be able to check off all those ones, you got to embrace each one of them. The things that you wrote down that the Lord gave you, motivation, commandment, encouragement, and admonition to write down for yourself what things you like to the Lord to do for you, and you wrote them down, and you brought them and presented them before the Lord yesterday. Well, the Lord will have me tell you today, you must embrace each one of those things. the moment that you look at any one of those things as, you know, this is outside my range, well, then it will be outside your range, you know. But when you believe the Lord, then he will bring it to pass. And so we must embrace in order to possess. That is the lesson today. And let me read to you this statement that the Lord said to Abraham at the beginning, the onset of all these promises, you know, that he began to give to him. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14, the Lord said to Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art. So ladies and gentlemen, from where you are right now, you know, the situation that you are in, from the place where you are, extend your vision to reach out and believe God, because he is able to do it. Don't be overtaken or consumed, you know, and buried under the circumstances that you are in right now. The Lord said, from the place where you are, you might be in a dark place right now. You might be in a depressed place or whatever. But the Lord said, look ahead. Hallelujah. And look around you. Hallelujah. Look northward and southward and eastward and westward for all the land that you can see. Well, you got to see it and you got to embrace it in order to possess it. Will I give to you and to thy seed forever? Hallelujah. So ladies and gentlemen, from the place where you are, look ahead to all the things that are on your list that are not yet done. And look ahead and embrace each one of those things in order for you to possess. And I am going to pray over the room this morning. You have heard the word of the Lord, how that you must embrace the promise in order to possess it. I am going to pray that the Lord will grant you the grace to embrace his promise for the particular situation that you are believing him for. Not a general persuasion that God is able to do all things. That's good, but it's not good enough until you embrace it for the particular situation that you are in. Our God is able to do all things. We know that. And we must be persuaded as such. But we must embrace the particular promise that relates to our situation, embrace it particularly for that situation in order for you to possess that promise. When we fail to embrace it, the Lord said to the people of Israel, I will disinherit them. And that's a place where we do not want to be. We do not want to be disinherited from the inheritance of the Lord, which he has given us. And that's the precious promises that he has given us. He said the Lord has given us exceeding great and precious promises that can actually cause us to inherit the divine nature. We get to a place where we're actually becoming like the Lord. We're speaking and things are happening because we are embracing the promises. That's the divine nature. In the divine nature, God speaks and it is done. He commands and he stands fast. That's it. You know, but we must embrace his promises in order for us to make progress in that direction of becoming, you know, and acquiring the divine nature. It is in the divine nature to speak and things get done. It is in divine nature to command and things stand fast. Well, God has given us, we are told, exceeding and great precious promises in order for us to attain to that divine nature. Praise the Lord. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, by which God has given us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these promises, if you embrace them, you might become partakers of the divine nature. And what is the divine nature? Well, according to Genesis chapter 1, we began to see his nature. You know, he would speak and things would get done. Hallelujah. All he had to do was speak and it was done. According to Psalm 33 and verse 9. For he spake and it was done. He commanded and he stood fast. That's the divine nature. When we embrace his promises, we can grow into that nature to the point where we also speak. The Bible says, I have believed and therefore I have spoken. Well, have you believed and have you embraced the word of the Lord today? Will you speak his word only and not allow unbelief and doubting to get in there and separate us and cause us to be disinherited? Let us embrace the promise of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 13, it is written, I have believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. May the Lord grant us the grace to speak only according to the word of the Lord which we have embraced, that we may possess in Jesus' name. Father, I pray over everyone that's listening in today, either in person right now or through the replays later on, that an understanding will come into our hearts to embrace the promise and the things which we have heard, which we have been given concerning the word of God, that we have written down, even to believe that we will possess these things. Help us to embrace the promise in order for us to possess. We thank you. We give you, Lord, the glory and the praise. I come against the spirit of unbelief and the hardening of hearts. There was a lot of hardening of hearts with the children of Israel. And they would not believe. They would not embrace the promise of the Lord to go in and possess, despite numerous signs and wonders that the Lord has done. May we not be like those people. May we all continue to remember, cast your mind back, reflect on all the things that the Lord has done, and say to yourself, art thou not he that has done this and that and the other? Art thou not he that hath wounded the dragon and dried up the Red Sea? Art thou not he that by your stretched and mighty hand hath brought out the children of Israel from out of bondage? And then put in your own experiences. Art thou not he, Lord, that hath done this? Call out the this. Art thou not he that hath done that? Call out the that that the Lord has done. And use it to encourage yourself in the Lord, to embrace him and embrace the promises that are yet to be done. And may the Lord grant us a seeing, an experiencing, and a fulfillment of these promises, even as we embrace them. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen. Well, that's our lesson today, and I'm going to turn it over for a moment of prayer. I want everybody to pray and embrace the promises so that you may possess it. We're going to be spending prayer every day throughout this convocation period. Sometimes you may think, oh, well, I prayed about that yesterday. Well, pray about it again today. A man ought always to pray and not to faint. That's what Jesus said. You pray today, you pray again tomorrow. You come back, you tell the judge again. And the judge says, well, I don't care, go away. And then she came back again the next day and did it until the point that the man said, look, if I don't do this thing that this woman is asking, she's going to weary me to death. The only way to get rid of her is to do what she wants. And Jesus said, well, hear what the unjust judge said. So when we pray today, ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence, the Bible says, and give him no rest, and keep on telling him until he establish the thing. Don't say I prayed about it yesterday and that's it. No, that's it, but that's not good enough. You pray again today, hallelujah, and tomorrow, well, you pray again, but pray with thanksgiving, mingled with praise, reminding the Lord what he has done. Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 6. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence and give him no rest till he establish and he'll make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Well, that's what they were charged with praying over. Well, whatever it is that you are believing God for, it's the same principle. Give the Lord no rest until he establish the thing that we are embracing and believing in order to possess. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.